Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we want to welcome everyone to Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz. Well, who are you? I'm her nephew. No, really, I'm her real nephew. My name is Seth Turner, and I will be doing the show tonight. Brothers and sisters, my Aunt Vern had an emergency and will not be able to attend the show tonight. Again, my Aunt Vern had an emergency, and she will not be able to do the show tonight. But I'm no stranger to blogging, and so I'm here today. We are going to definitely have the show in its entirety. She wanted this to go forward. She wanted us to go ahead with her debut again. The Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz. And we're going to be still speaking with the same. We're going to have our same guests. They're already in the house. I see the phone numbers, and so we'll come to them shortly. All right? So, again, I want to say welcome to Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz, taking our community and resource and workshop information to the airways, Verna says so often, to help change our atmosphere by helping others go and grow. One more time. I just want to welcome everyone again to Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz. And as she says so often, we're taking our community resource and workshops information to the airways with this new blog show, helping change our atmosphere by helping others grow and go, or go and grow, as she say. Well, tonight, I want to remind everyone, you can call in at 573-999-3739 to talk with some of Dallas' top lawyers and judges. They are Attorney Russell Wilson and, of course, Dallas County Judges Dominique Collins and Andre Moorhead. One more time, you can call in at 563-999-3739 to talk with some of Dallas' top lawyers and judges. They are Attorney Russell Wilson, Dallas County Judges Dominique Collins and Andre Moorhead. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our guests. And again, brothers and sisters, don't forget, if you have questions or comments, you can call that number and simply press 1, and we will bring you on with your question for our attorney and judges, okay? Again, I'm Seth Turner. I'm Vernon Melton's nephew, and again, no stranger to blogging. So tonight she asked me if I would host her show, and I was I'm glad, I'm honored to that she would even think of me in that way. Well, I see the phone number, the phone line is already lit up with calls, and we want to thank you. Again, the way this works is you press 1, and when our guests get done doing their intro, and we'll come to the phone lines and get some of your questions or comments for what you, any questions you have or anything you want to say to our guests, all right? So first of all, we want to start off with attorney Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is one of Dallas' top attorneys, and we are honored to have him in the house. And I want to go ahead and open up his line at this time. And Mr. Wilson, your line is now open. I want to thank you, brother, for coming on the show tonight. Again, this is talking about the Texas legal system, y'all, where we are questioning or talking to attorneys. If you have any questions, they are in the house to answer your questions. So, Mr. Wilson, your line is open. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Seth. I'm sorry Verna couldn't be here this evening. Send her our best wishes. So glad to be here this evening with Dallas County Court, Criminal Court number Judge Audrey Moorhead from our county criminal courts and Judge Dominique Collins from our criminal district court. I've known both of these judges for a long time. They're outstanding public servants and have been very active in our community here in the Dallas area, and certainly look forward to take our message and voice and experience on criminal justice issues, not just here locally, but on the national scene as well. And, myself, I'm an attorney. I've practiced here in the Dallas area in state and federal courts for the last 27 years. Like I said, it's been my privilege to be a colleague of both Judge Audrey Moorhead and Judge Dominique Collins. And so I'm looking forward to the discussion tonight. I'm sure there'll be some interesting questions. And, of course, as being lawyers, we always are certainly on top of current legal issues that are coming across our desk. And so there's always some stuff that we could throw out for discussion as well. So look forward to the discussion. Thanks for having me.
Well, again, thank you for accepting. And, again, I do apologize to everyone that my Aunt Verna Melton will not be in tonight and that I'm sitting in. But, again, I want to thank you. Since we're all legal here, what do judges go by these days? I mean, I hear some people say Attorney Wilson, Mr. Wilson. What do you prefer to be called tonight?
So, of course, you know, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a judge, but not an attorney. All judges in Texas are also licensed attorneys. I'll, of course, let them kind of choose how they'd like to be referred to. But I am not a judge. So Attorney Wilson, Russell, Mr. Wilson, any of those things are certainly fine.
Okay, well, we'll go with Attorney Wilson tonight, and again, I want to thank you and appreciate you accepting it. All right, I want to go back to the phone lines and bring on Judge Dominique Collins. Hopefully I'm politically correct in saying that. Judge Collins, your line is now open. Again, welcome to Verna's Help, Metroplex Buzz. Go right ahead. Your line is open.
Well, good evening. Thanks for having me. I'm sending prayers for Verna and Verna's family. But,
thank you.
Dominique Collins, pleased to be here, to be a part of the first show. I've double-booked myself. I'm in a capital murder trial right now, and I think I've double-booked myself, so I'm going to stay until 8:30, then I'm going to have to jump off.
Oh, wow, wow. Well, since you are limited in your time, probably what we want to do is let you go first out of respect for what's going on with you. So, again, I do want to thank you for tuning in. Now, if our last judge is in the house, I would like for her to press 1 if possible. Again, if we have our last judge in house, I would like for her to press 1 so we can just bring you on, because I don't see the number that I'm expecting her to call from. But in the meantime, since you're limited, I would like for you to go ahead, Judge Collins, and just kind of let us know a little bit about yourself and anything you just want to share with the people.
Sure. Well, I spent 12 years in the active duty Air Force, and 7 months of that was in the first Gulf War. And then I left the Air Force and joined law school with my 4-year-old baby. So we went to law school, and first job was as a prosecutor. So I was a prosecutor for 8 years. And then my second job as a lawyer has been a judge. And so I've been a judge for 10 years now. And so my court is from state jail felonies to capital murder, death penalty cases. In addition to that, I run a mental health court and a veterans court.
Wow. That's a lot. Well, we have a hand that's up. I don't know if this is a question for one of you all or if it's indeed our final judge. So let's do this, everybody. Let's go ahead and see. And I just want to say, Judge Moorhead, Andre Moorhead, if this is you, let's just open the line. That's the best way. Okay. Area code 817-709. We won't mention all of the phone number, but your line is open. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, I didn't think I was going to be the first one tonight. My name is Delonze Hawkins, and I need help. I'm in Texas. And I have a question for whatever attorney or judge can help me. The best thing that I should do in this case. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. What was your name again?
My first name is Delonze, spelled D-E-L-O-N-Z-A, last name Hawkins.
Okay, Mr. Hawkins, all right. Let's go ahead and shoot this question at Judge Collins. She's going to have to run in about 20 minutes here. So go ahead with your question.
That's so good. Because I'm a veteran, and so I didn't know. The question that I have, I got in trouble during the pandemic for assault. So when I went to jail, spent 30 days in jail, and I got out for on probation. But I never reported. Now, since I didn't report, I'm trying to turn myself in. Is there a better way I can go? Is there something that an attorney or judge can help me with? Is it best I just turn myself in and just what would you do? What would you recommend?
Well, I cannot give legal advice because I'm a member of the judiciary. However, I mean, if you get a lawyer and talk about how best to get this remedied, I mean, in my court, people who walk in on their own 2 feet usually leave on their own 2 feet in their own clothes.
Right. Right.
Someone tell me what happened, and, you know, a lot of times we can work something out, but you'd have to probably talk to Russell more about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm happy to jump in a little bit. And is it Delonze?
Delonze.
Yeah, Delonze.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is just kind of a little bit limited without knowing all the facts. But what I can tell you is, one, you could certainly retain an attorney. If you're not able to afford an attorney, you could request that the court appoint an attorney for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that by appearing at the court, on a given morning and asking to speak to the court coordinator you know, you still may have to go to jail, or the judge may release you on a recognizance bond. You need to let them know kind of your circumstances. You know, the longer that you go without addressing the issue, usually the more difficult it gets. So I would encourage you to make some decisions regarding that. Even if you were arrested and jailed, you'd be entitled to a bond, a reasonable bond. And Dallas County, of course, is a leader in ensuring that bond is just there to secure your appearance. So in the event you were anticipating the potential of going to jail, I'd make some prior arrangements so that you can ensure to get a bond set if you needed to. All right.
Thank you for that. And one last question. During the pandemic, and I don't know if people know this, but if you do anything during the pandemic and get arrested for it, they're going to enhance it automatic. So automatic. Anything that you do during a pandemic, they enhance that. Now, my case, it turned into a felony since it was during the pandemic. Now, the question is it possible to get that knocked down to the status that it should be? Or is this new for everybody?
Yeah. So there is the ability to enhance crimes that occurred during the pandemic. But statewide, there's kind of been a trend away from that. And as far as the possibility in your particular case, you know, you're not necessarily going to know that until you first have been, you know, arraigned, you've gotten an attorney, and then there's an evaluation of the case made. You may have very good defenses in your case. You may have mitigating circumstances. You could even have a judge like Dominique Collins here on the line who runs a veterans court where they specifically deal with veterans who have criminal charges, but you can't deal with the system if you don't go to the system. So all those things are possibilities. I wouldn't view it as a situation that couldn't be addressed. I don't know in your situation what would happen, but I would encourage you to continue to be responsible and try to go ahead and get the situation addressed. It's a misdemeanor offense generally, and so you know, and thank you for your service to our country.
And thank you for telling me that. And I am, and it's such a, man, you just don't know how things are working out for me. Tonight, I'm just briefly, I just got out the hospital and all kind of stuff been going on with my rent, everything. And it's time for me to take care of this problem because what they did, they stopped my government pay because of this, okay? So I got to take care of this. And within this week, like I'm thinking about Monday, I got a little money saved up just in case I can put on my books if I have to do, you know what I'm saying, a couple of weeks, hopefully. But and I was thinking tonight, is there a number, is there a certain attorney I can call, or will somebody call me tomorrow and we can discuss this? Or
What county is your case in?
Tarrant.
In Tarrant County? Yeah, I will call that court coordinator's office.
Okay.
I'm positive regarding their bond situations.
Okay.
If you've had medical conditions, again, you know, when people don't report to court and they don't offer any explanation as to why, that's the difficulty in the process of getting arrested or stopped somewhere. It takes you longer to try to get in front of a judge. So even if you know that you have a warrant and you come to court, you know, 9 times out of 10, that is a sign to the judge that you're serious about handling your business. And 9 times out of 10, the judge is going to be responsive. There's a Tarrant County Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I'm not going to do referrals and things like that over the phone. I think the purpose here tonight is just to be outreach to the community. But there's lots of lawyers out there as well that you could reach out to and may be able to make arrangements with the attorney. Again, you know, you're on the right step because you're getting ready to do something about it, but you've got to take those steps and talk to the attorneys, and I imagine that you'll find out the situation may not be as bad as you feel like it is.
Yes, that's true.
Even as I'm ready to, you know, get it off my back, it's just been weighing me down, and I got to take care of it. And I know nobody don't want to go to jail, but if I have to go, I go. I mean, I was just hoping, like, it's not over 2-3 weeks or a month. And to me, that's I'm too old for that.
I'd be stunned for that to be your situation. I can't speak to every circumstance, but generally your bond is set, you know, within a short time period. Dallas and Tarrant counties do bond assessments. And, you know,
it'd
be very odd for you to be in jail for 3 weeks on that charge. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but, you know.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck to you, and
we're praying
for you. And thanks so much for calling in.
And thank y'all for tonight, your auntie, nephew. Thank you for whoever you're helping out tonight, because this helped me.
All right, DeLonzo, that's what we're here for. Thank you very much, sir.
Y'all take care.
And you take care. And that's how you can do it, brothers and sisters. Just call the phone line. Again, area code 563-999-3739. And just like Mr. Hawkins, you can ask your question and our comments, okay? But I want to go back to Judge Dominic Collins, Judge Collins, and see if she had anything more for the gentleman. And what are some of the most common questions you have presented your way, Judge, as a judge in Dallas?
Excuse me. Well, because I run the Veterans Court, I get a lot of people asking, how do you get in Veterans Court? What's the program like? How long is it? How do you get this dismissal and expunction? Things like that.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this, Judge Collins. You gave a little bit about yourself, and we appreciate that. As we do this debut, again, brothers and sisters, this is the Vernon's Help Metroplex Buzz. We are debuting tonight, and we really appreciate your comments and questions for our guests. But Judge Collins, there in Dallas, I remember some time back the police chief that was making the big efforts to clear the records of a lot of our ex-convicts. And do you think that was a good move? This is one of the questions I have personally. Do you think that was a good move? Do you think a lot of people appreciated what she was trying to do as far as these programs to help? Let me rephrase the question. How do you feel about cleaning up the records of a lot of our ex-convicts or convicts, if I can say that?
So that was actually the DA at the time, and that was Faith Johnson.
Okay.
And so she started the expunction program. The expunction program is still going on. An expunction is a hard thing to do, and if you got one shot at it and you have to do it right or you lose your chance, your opportunity. So I think it's fine. Some people have some youthful indiscretions that have caused them not to be able to get jobs, not to secure your housing, maybe not even get student loans. And so if it's someone who's got a lot of time and space between what happened when they were younger or when they were maybe not as a mature thinker, I have no problem with that. Like I said, everybody can't get one. You have to have done a lot and put some time and space and distance between you and what happened when you were younger.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this also. Again, I'm the nephew, brothers and sisters. Those of y'all tuning in, Melton's nephew. I'm sitting in for Aunt Vern. My Aunt Vern, she had an emergency and couldn't do the show tonight. Again, she apologizes, and I do, you know, just have to relay y'all that. She do apologize for not being able to do the show tonight, but she wanted this to go forward, and she told me she do appreciate the guests that are showing up, all right? I want to, since, again, Judge Collins, you got to run a little bit. I'm picking on you a little bit. And, again, Judge Moore, Moorhead, if you're in the house, go ahead and press 1, and I'll be able to bring you on, okay? But, Judge Collins, I want to just ask you, how do you know Inverne?
I'm trying to think. I believe I met her around town, but specifically I got to know her more at the first dysfunction clinic, I want to say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Okay. Attorney Russell, let me ask you this. Do you have any questions or comments to the judge before she runs? Because she's got to go. She said, hey, then we want to respect her time for restraint.
Yeah, not really any questions or comments. Maybe more information for the listeners. Judge Collins being very, very humble about herself. I think she's a very accomplished judicial official here in Dallas, and I encourage you, if you're in Dallas, to go to Criminal District Court 4 right now, literally as we're speaking, 8 o'clock at night. She's presided over a capital murder trial during the daytime and then coming here in the evening to try to take questions from members of the community. But the courtroom is always open. I've seen her handle folks in the Veterans Court, and she really cares about trying to make a difference in people's lives. It's one of those things that doesn't necessarily come across to you right away when you're just talking briefly over the phone or on a podcast. But one of the things that causes our community to need to get on podcasts to ask questions is kind of the lack of involvement with the court system until you or a family friend or family member is charged. So I always encourage everyone to know what's happening in your courts. Go down and see in particular Judge Collins doing hard work on a daily basis. You know, a lot of the listeners on these calls will ultimately pass through the criminal court system or will have a friend or family member that will, given the high volume of crimes that are prosecuted, not just in Dallas County, but across the state. And so I'm glad that you invited Judge Collins on this evening to, one, increase awareness of the need to inform people. And then sometimes folks are just frankly scared to ask Judge Collins or any judge, but I think they're very approachable. And, again, I would encourage listeners to check her out. You can Google her information, and she's at Dallas County Criminal District Court Number 4. Again, like I said, presiding over some of the most serious crimes, but also doing things like the expunction clinic, like the Veterans Court, to improve the members of our community.
Yes. Well, I have a question that I definitely need to ask Judge Collins. I was trying to hold my questions, well, at least this question, this particular question, to everybody else that went forth. So I have a question for you. Judge Collins, as you judge, what are some of the, as you sit there on the bench, what are some of the common things that a lot of the public don't know, rights that we have when we go before a judge, that you're thinking to yourself, they don't know that they have the right to do this. Boy, I wish they knew that they had the right to do this. So many people don't know that they have the right to do this. I'm sure, you know, by the public not being lawyers, they don't know the law like you two. So what are some of the most common things that the public don't know or rights that they should be using they don't know when coming to court?
I mean, they have the right to adequate representation. If they can't afford it, then we will pay for it for them. That's the main thing. That's the most important thing. I mean, they don't know what they don't know, so they don't know it, so I can't really answer that question. You know, like, there's people who just don't know certain things, and that's what the lawyer's for.
Okay. Oh, okay, I see.
But what I would say in closing, though, is that if folks want to go onto the county website and then go to Criminal District Court Number 4 and the webpage that has me on it, if you want to go there and if you have a friend who maybe needs to start their government benefits from the Veterans Administration, there's a link there on my page and you can start it there. If a person needs to apply for Veterans Court because they've run afoul of the law and they're a veteran, they can apply there as well. So there's the applications there as well as a hot link to the whole Veterans Administration so you can start your disability benefits. You can make a vet health appointment. You can do so much from that website. So if you just get on my landing page, you can get pretty much everything you want from veterans.
Wow. Wow. Well, Judge Collins, we want to thank you.
Could you tell us that landing page one more time, Judge?
So you go to the county webpage, and it says court, then find criminal district court number 4, specifically look for Dominique Collins, hit that link and scroll down, and all those things are there. You can apply for the Veterans Court. You can apply for benefits at the VA. Like, the button is there for the public. So even
wow.
if you're not in trouble, you can still go to the hit the Veterans link and just get what you need.
Wow. Well, again, Judge Dominique Collins, thank you. Thank you for spending time with us tonight, and I'm sure Aunt Vern appreciate that. I know you got to run, but we, again, thank you for your presence on the blog.
Thank you for having me. Okay, bye-bye.
Sure. And y'all heard her say she's doing dual things. She had a literally overseeing a trial, capital murder case there. Well, Attorney Russell Wilson, again, we thank you for your presence tonight. I have a question for you with regards to cops. That, I tell you, I got a lot of questions here, but I definitely want to answer that. But as an attorney, you know, there's a lot of talk about our young people challenging on the side of the road these police officers. There's a lot of young men that are learning their rights, that are standing up for their rights. And, of course, I know you would agree they should do that. But I'm sure you're seeing a lot of the YouTube videos and a lot of the social media where a lot of this is backfiring. So I'd like for you to kind of walk the audience through what do you do, you personally do, when you stop by a police officer and you feel it's an unjust stop. What do you do personally?
You know, I haven't been stopped unjustly, but I think what I would do is I would give them my information. You know, the courtroom is the arena to resolve disputes, not the side of the road. I think trying to get into a confrontation just heightens the risk. You can think of officer-involved shootings in Minnesota, certainly if you have weapons in your car. And so, you know, the goal of a traffic stop for the pedestrian or for the citizen, for the person stopped, should be, in my mind, to leave it alive. And I don't know that heated discussions on the side of the road make that happen. And so I'm trying to get to a courtroom. If an officer's wrong on something, I may or may not say something to them at the time, really just because I'm so confident about my future position. Most of the time when there's a contact with law enforcement, particularly in the Dallas area, they would have a body camera on, and the purpose of the camera is to record the entirety of the interaction.
Attorney Wilson, let me just say this really quick. There's some staticky. I don't know if you can do anything about it, but I know it's your line because when you say certain things, you kind of – so I don't know what that means. If you you're not breaking up, so I don't know if you can do anything about it, but just maybe you heard that before and you know what to do. So I just want to make you aware of that. But go right
ahead.
Great information.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, most of the time there's body cameras that are rolling when the police officers are having these contacts, particularly on traffic stops. So I think, you know, on the one hand, it's recording the interaction, and so you should be more confident that whatever's happening would be being documented. On the other hand, if you're being stopped, remember your conduct is also being recorded. And so if you have an officer behaving poorly, then, you know, I think the thing to do is to get away from the interaction and then contact the department. You can certainly file a written complaint. You can file a written request for the body camera.
Oh, really?
but I don't want to try to resolve it right there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Send in an open records request for the body camera. Yeah.
Well, let me do this, Mr. Wilson. I think what I should do is call you on the show line, because I want this static. We want to get rid of this static. I don't want to burn this whole show because we still got a lot to talk about, and it's only 8:37. So, you okay with me just calling you really quickly on the show's phone line? It'll take like 3 seconds, and you'll be back on here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll try the same number that we have here, and I'm going to call you back again, brothers and sisters. Y'all tune into the Verna Melton's Help Metroplex Buzz. Again, Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz, and we're going to call this attorney back because that is some good information he was sharing. So let's do that real quick. We'll call Attorney Russell Wilson right back. I don't want any Verna here to show and be like, wow, what is all that static? So let's call him right now. It's ringing. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting an earful. A lot of this I didn't know. Of course, I knew it would be that way because, you know, it's the legal system, brothers and sisters, and a lot of us just don't know about it like we should. So hope y'all are learning and getting a lot. Again, we've had on Judge Collins as well as Attorney Russell Wilson. So let's go ahead and try this number another time here. It's not moving fast enough. And again, those of you listening to the show and you really like what you're hearing and you have a question for the guests, please don't be shy, y'all. Go ahead and call the phone.
Please leave your message for 469-556-7533.
Sorry about that, Joe. Let's try it again. I just don't want to have a whole show and the line is kind of. So we have to do this sometime. And I want to remind everybody while the switchboard is calling the attorney that these shows are recorded. So what does that mean? That means that once we go off, you can listen to these shows many, many times over and over in the future. So know that, all right? Because this legal stuff is not going to change pretty much what these attorneys are saying. I'm sure it'll be on the books for years to come. So, again, these shows are recorded, brothers and sisters. So we're trying to reach out to Attorney Russell Wilson again. We appreciate him coming, stopping by. We also heard from earlier Judge Dominique Collins, and we appreciate her time as well. And I know she had to run, but we just thank her for just introducing herself and that website. So, again, brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to reach out to our guests. So I'm going to take a little short break because I don't know, my computer's moving a little slow. So we'll be right back. Again, you've tuned in to Verna's Help Metroplex Buzz right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back with the attorney. Okay, brothers and sisters, I'm having a little trouble with my board here. This happens when you do blogs, so we're going to keep trying. Again, we have Attorney Russell Wilson, and he has just been talking about various things. He gave an intro. Again, these shows are recorded. Those of you that's just tuning in, remember these shows are recorded, so I know that you missed the front part of the show, but they are recorded, okay? So just know that we had on I'm just talking to those that just coming in. We had on Judge Andre Moorhead earlier, who was sharing some very important things about the legal system. Again, these things can you can okay, and he's back. Oh, let's try to. Okay, Attorney Russell Wilson, are you back? Attorney Russell Wilson, are you back? Well, folks, this is what happened again. Let's try to take this break again, y'all. Bear with us. This is our first show. I still think it is good as it gets. We have a little difficulty. We'll be right back. Again, Attorney Russell Wilson is back. Again, y'all, we apologize for that, but it happens. It's just technology, brothers and sisters. Nothing we can do about that. All right? But Judge Wilson, you were saying, go right ahead, my brother.
You know, I think I was telling people if they have a negative contact with law enforcement, not to try to resolve it right there on the side of the road in such a dangerous circumstance. You've seen people running and being shot in the back. You know, that's happened several times. So, you know, I think if the goal is to leave alive, certainly understand, and even though you may be arrested for some offense, if you can get to a courtroom, you may be able to post a bond, some other types of things. So, you know, you don't want to be being remembered, or you don't want to protest about your death. And so, you know, I think keep that in mind. Particularly African-American men with children and families. There's so much at stake in those encounters. I think it's incumbent on us to not try to escalate them.
Well, let me ask you this, because, again, there is a lot of people want to know what I'm about to ask, and that is this. What laws are how should, okay, let's just say a police officer want to search your vehicle. Take it from there. What should and should we, as the public, do about that?
Don't consent. It's pretty simple. No.
Okay.
You know, if a police officer wants to search vehicles, the primary way that they do it is by first asking people, do you have any drugs or weapons in the car? And the person says no. And then they follow that up with, you don't mind if I search, do you? And then they say, no, I don't mind, because they want to try to prove, in essence, that what they're saying is true. There are some circumstances an officer could search your car with or without your consent. They could have be required to get a search warrant. They can try to run a drug dog around your car. All types of stuff. The main thing that you want to do is just not make it not consent, period. That, I mean, some people say, well, if you consent, it just gets it over with, et cetera. But if you consent and they didn't have a reason to search your vehicle in the first place, then what they write down is the reason to search your vehicle is because you allowed them to. So,
wow.
You know, not consenting is the main thing. If it's beyond that and they think they have probable cause to search it and you don't believe that they do, then if they find something in there, that's what the hearing is for. That's what a judge decides. Again, don't try to resolve it on the side of the road. You know, I think if you don't want to be searched, you know, I mean, the caveat to this is to understand, for folks that smoke marijuana and that smoke marijuana in their car, a lot of times the odor of marijuana is probable cause to search your car. For folks that don't have inspection tags or don't have their tags current, or they have paper tags, any of these could be reasons to stop your car and then subsequently have a contact with you. But anytime I have a friend, family member, colleague, anybody whose car smells like marijuana, tell them, you know, essentially you're, you know, walking probable cause. If the police come up to your car and smell that, then they're going to say that they smell it, and then they're going to want to search your car for drugs or marijuana. And so sometimes we ourselves put ourselves in situations that it is at least predictable that you could be stopped and searched. And so,
wow. You
know, I don't think you can, you know, so it's kind of like be smarter on the front end and you don't have to worry about that issue.
And I've heard the verbiage is, not that there's a certain verbiage, I understand that, but that I heard that, you know, heard that the thing you want to say is just, officer, I know you're doing your job or something along those lines just to kind of de-escalate, but I don't consent to searches. Do you agree with that's a good thing to say, or what do you say when they, you know, start coming at you a little harder? Like,
I mean, I don't think you need to be rude.
Okay.
And so a lot of it is, you know, the attitude of the interaction. You can tell if a person is mad. You can tell, you know, the officer generally should tell you their name and the reason they stopped you. And then you say, you know, no, I didn't do that. And then you are, you know, so, you know, I think if you have your ID, you give it to them. A lot of, sometimes folks don't have their IDs to begin with, so you know that they're then going to want your name and date of birth. It's kind of like if you want to get into it with them, y'all going to get into it. And that's going to take the course wherever it wants to. I'm saying being polite doesn't mean that you have to, you know, kiss their butt and all this type of stuff. I think you would speak, again, if you know you're being recorded, like you're in a courtroom. So I would address the person professionally. I wouldn't raise my voice. And, you know, that's it. You know, so
That's really good stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm asking this is because I don't know how many – you're an attorney. You can correct me, and I like to know this question so you can write this one down on the side. But I like to know, why do most people visit your office? That would be, I'm sure, a lot of people.
I mean, obviously you get charged with some type of crime or you have a legal circumstance or situation. All of those things happen. And so it runs the gamut of reasons that I get contacted for, you know, to try to they call me for representation.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I want to thank you for just coming on tonight and just sharing the way you're doing. I just want to remind everybody you've tuned into the Verna Help Metroplex Buzz. This is her debut. This is the first show, and we really appreciate all of the people that are participating. We see the phone lines, those of you on the phone lines. I just want to encourage y'all, don't be shy, you know. Make a comment if you don't have a question, but I'm not going to beg y'all. But no, I am begging you, actually. But press 1 to ask Attorney Wilson a question. You've heard from the judge earlier. Hopefully you was blessed by what she shared. Again, tonight, there's no dumb questions. I'm sure the judge will say there's no dumb comments. We just like to hear from the public. Again, you tune into the Verna Help Metroplex Buzz. So I want to bring up something at this time. I got these things wrote down, Attorney Wilson, that I just wanted to ask y'all tonight. And one of them is, I hear that you played a part in setting free the TDC inmates, and I want to know how did that go down, and what are you kind of, because I don't know all the details, but can you kind of just talk about your part in that, and how does the public feel? Do people feel like that was a good thing or that was a bad thing?
Right. So, you know, I was involved in exonerating individuals who were wrongfully convicted of crimes, crimes that they did not commit. I think that people generally think that's a good thing, that a person got out of prison for a crime that they didn't commit. But, you know, very involved process. As you can imagine, a number of folks are in prison either because they were unjustly convicted, and some are wrongfully convicted, and in the worst cases, innocent men and women have sat in prison for crimes that they did not commit. The process to get exonerated or to try to have a conviction overturned is very lengthy. Begins with a writ. It's one where multiple attorneys will need to be involved. So, you know, a lot of that has sparked criminal justice reform in the way of things like the Michael Morton Act, the Richard Miles Act. Richard Miles was exonerated here in Dallas. Body cameras, recording of interrogations are all products of, and DNA testing are all products of wrongful convictions in our criminal justice system. So depending on how old you are, you might remember a time when not everything was recorded. Police encounters weren't recorded. We were just told what happened. And then suspect statements weren't recorded. We just received a written statement that essentially said, I did it. And eyewitnesses had suspects suggested to them, at times even falsely suggested. And so the magnitude of all of those things led to years of a justice system that dispensed injustice on many, many people. And those few that were able to be exonerated, I think, are examples of that that hopefully we never forget.
Okay. Attorney Wilson, I think my Aunt Vern is trying to get in here. Hold on a second. Let's try this. Everybody, hold on. Just one second. Aunt Vern, your line is open. I understand you have a question you want to comment. Let's see if we can get her in here. Y'all, I promise y'all, my computers, this happens. Anyway, Vern, I'm trying to bring you in, but I want to say to the attorney Wilson, while we're bringing in my aunt, I really appreciate that information, especially with regards to the cops and handling our young people, because there are so many of these young people that are learning. A lot of these guys go in and out of prison, no disrespect to them, and they are learning their rights. But oftentimes, like you said, they're not as you said, don't get into a shout match. You know, the law, to be very honest, the law should protect you if you do get into a shout match, but you're right, it's not wise. So what they're saying basically on the street is like this: I'm not going to be no sucker, I'm not going to be no, you know, fill in the blank, and I'm going to stand on my grounds. And legally, they could do that. You know, a lot of our white brothers and sisters, they talk to the cops like they have a tail on them. And the law protects them. But what I try to tell these young people is these cops behind their badges, human beings, and you have got to be very careful with dealing with these people. You know, and I'm Vern, I'm trying to bring you in, and just somehow just rebooted my computers, both of them, so that's what I'm going to bring on Vern in a second once I get this computer going. But, so Wilson, what I'm saying is I appreciate the wisdom you shared. Because, again, you may have a right, but it may not be wise, because you know some of these police officers don't always have your best interest at heart. I'm sure you would agree with that, right?
Yeah. It's not even before you get to the police officer having your best interest at heart, I really think it's about whether you have your best interest at heart. And so, you know, I think it starts with the person. And you either have to have confidence that your right can be vindicated in a courtroom or not. But you've got a person who's armed with a gun. They've already got the jump on you. Their gun is right there on their hip. Their taser is, and their radio is. And so you're at a disadvantage. And, you know, if you want to be the one that tries to show them up and do all of this, and you check them and you went on Facebook Live and all of this stuff, you know, it usually I don't know that that helps the situation. So if you want to do any of those things, like I would say, you know, if you know you're recording, then fine. If you want to try to record the encounter, but again, the purpose of the recording devices is to try to ensure the civility of the encounter. In other words, you know, if the cameras aren't there, we could imagine anybody could act a fool. But with the cameras there, and so, you know, I don't know what could be happening on the side of the road that'd be worth trying to get into a fight over your life or something like that. So, you know, it's a situational thing. By the same token, if you're being spoken to in a demeaning, disrespectful manner, that doesn't mean that you have to engage in. I think you tell the person, you know, ask them to speak to you respectfully. If they don't, again, you're not going to be able to resolve it right there. You know, some people say, oh, I want a supervisor, I want this and that. And you end up in a 4 or 5 hour encounter that could have been over much quicker. And so, yeah, I don't think you should be going around trying to fight the police on the side of the road. It could never be described as good judgment, even if you're right, you know. Even if you're right, it would not be described as good judgment.
That's wisdom. Okay, I think we have my Aunt Vern, whose line is now open. Aunt Vern, your line is open. Welcome.
Okay. Can you hear me, please?
Yes, go right ahead.
First, I want to, Russell, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, Seth Russell is a very expensive lawyer. When I say expensive, I mean you don't get Russell Wilson to come on a podcast for an hour or two unless he's a very committed attorney. But I know his salary. He's expensive. If you can hear the Russell, can you hear me? I know you can hear me, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thank you so much for being here. I know you and Dominique have worked with me for many years. Some of the questions that my nephew was asking y'all cannot answer on this podcast. So you got to be careful with all these questions, Seth. But I'm here, Russell, and I'm listening to y'all. And I'm hoping that people is listening as well and calling in with their questions, because I want to have you back on, Russell. And Russell's mother and I was best of friends, Seth. Miss Naomi, that's
okay.
The reason why he's a broadcast tonight. Russell is like my son as well. And I thank you, sweetie, for being here for me and for this podcast for the first time. And I know you're going to come back. But Seth,
yeah, sure,
is a
absolutely.
Encyclopedia. When Craig Watson was our DA for Dallas County, Craig Watson was the DA, but Russell Wilson was he did a lot of work, and I want to thank him for all the people that he freed, all the young men that was freed from TDC who had been wrongfully sentenced. I applaud you for that, Russell. And if there's anything else that you can tell the community tonight that can help them, especially with the young boys, who's trying to ride around thinking that marijuana is a law, or they can have so much marijuana in their car and still not go to jail. That's what I want you to talk about. We have a lot of young men who ride around there with guns because they can get a gun anywhere. You know, a lot of young men who's walking around here and riding around with guns and marijuana. And when the policemen stop them and they feel like they can, they have passed this law where anybody can carry a gun, they feel like they don't have to be searched or go to jail. And it's going to be, when they get stopped, is that not a felony then when they run around with that? Please explain.
Yeah, no, you're welcome for me coming on this evening. Certainly appreciate you having me. On the marijuana and guns, I think first we would start with understand that marijuana still hasn't been legalized in Texas. And so that, because of that, there's consequences for, being in possession. Now, you've heard of cite and release. That's City of Dallas only. A lot of first-time marijuana offenders are not being prosecuted. And I think that that's a good thing, but the reason I say that I think that's a good thing is because I don't necessarily believe that marijuana prosecutions reduce crime or improve the safety of the community, two of the goals of criminal justice. The caveat to that, though, is that it doesn't make it legal to drive around smoking weed in your car and having a gun. So the gun laws in Texas are very liberal. You can open carry as long as your weapon is in a holster. You could have it out displayed, but you can't have a gun and weed. The possession of a weapon laws prohibit a person from being in the commission of any other crime greater than a Class C misdemeanor. And possession of marijuana is a Class B misdemeanor. And so if you are in possession of a gun and marijuana, then your possession of the gun is unlawful and the marijuana is unlawful. So you just got yourself a trip down to the jail, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
You can't be in possession of both. And for folks that smoke marijuana, I would tell you, if you're doing that, I don't think people should smoke in their cars. And if you are smoking in your car, you shouldn't have a gun in there. Hopefully one day marijuana will be legalized. But until then, that issue is going to continue to pop up in states where it's not legal. So, if you want to smoke, go to a state where it's legal. Go to a place where it's legal. But if you do it here and you're in possession of a gun, it's not a felony, but it is a misdemeanor. It still can be prosecuted. The gun could be forfeited. If you have a Glock, pretty nice handgun, you could have paid, $500, $600, $700 for it. You'd have to go to county jail, then you have to post a bond. You have to do a lot of things that, again, can be avoided. Not necessarily agreeing with that position overall, but it doesn't make sense to smoke and have guns in your car. And that's a formula to go to jail. And, it's no surprise. It's nothing to argue about. I get it. A lot of people have guns. I'm a gun owner myself. So I think you kind of have to make a choice there, but you don't want to do both at the same time if you are doing either one of them.
Well, Mr. Wilson, I have about three questions just because y'all have been talking about marijuana and Vern brought up the whole marijuana and firearm thing. So I've all of a sudden got three questions here. But listen, as I ask my questions, if you can, if for some reason you can't answer, because I have no idea to know what you can and or cannot talk about, so let me know. But I wanted to go back to Aunt Vern and make sure that she have any, see if she have any questions or comments on what you just said. And then I want to take a little break, if that's okay with you. You okay with a break?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a little short break, and then we'll come back and tackle the rest of the broadcast. But Aunt Vern, did you have any more comments or questions for the public or our guests?
Well, I want to say this, that me and Audrey is missing tonight. Audrey Moorhead is in Austin, and she called and said that she would be listening in. I don't know if she would be able to click in, but I know that she's listening. So hopefully I will be there next week with SBA. I've talked with Bridget Moon. She's also listening tonight. We have a lot of information. But, Russell, I don't want, if you have time to, after the break, to comment on some more issues that possibly that we are going through with the Dallas County Sheriff's Department, with the overcrowding in the jails right now, comments on that. If you can talk a little bit about that. But I want to also explain to everybody that this is our legal clinic. We normally have legal clinics along there with Good Street Baptist Church. We have our legal clinics and our business workshops. So because of the COVID and restraints that we're having, we had to go to a podcast. This way we can reach more people. At our legal clinics, we may have had 30 people to show up. This podcast is going all over the world.
Absolutely.
So I want y'all to know that Russell Wilson, Dominique Collins, Audrey Moorhead, and I have maybe like five more attorneys, Bree West, Candace, Cheryl Watley, Candace Lindsay, she's a fantastic attorney. They're gonna be on. Cheryl Watley will be on. Those attorneys is waiting to come on also to talk to the community. At this time, we have so much to give. And Russell, I just can't thank you enough. You've always been there for me. You and your entire family, your sister, your whole family, and now you have met my nephew, so I just want them to always call on you if they need you. And make sure they can pay you though. Don't let them think they can't pay you.
Of course.
Right.
But let me tell you, Russell, right now I am not able to be with y'all. You know, I'm here. I'm glad I'm back. My nurse is here. She's letting me talk to everybody. But let me share something with you. Next week, I hope that I will be there to for their podcast. SBA has a lot of good information to talk to people about the business, small businesses, and the money. $600 billion that is set aside for small businesses under the new Biden executive order. When I tell you all that, that's a lot of money. The county nor the city nor the state of Texas give small businesses set aside. But the federal government has opened the window, has $600 million. We have to let people know. That's so much why I wanted this podcast, because we have to let people know how to start a business, how to become a successful business, and if you have a business. There's so much that we're going to talk about coming up. If you got that stimulus money and you a small business, and now you're getting letters from the government saying you got to pay that money back, we're going to have attorneys coming on for that, federal attorneys as well. So keep listening to this podcast. I may not be there tonight, but I will be there next, by the grace of God. And I know y'all is praying for me. I will be there next Thursday. Okay? So let them break a little bit, Seth, and let, you know, take a bathroom break. and come back and give and Russell and help them as much as they possibly can on the airways tonight. Okay, sweetie? I appreciate it.
All right. Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, that was my Aunt Vern. Again, I'm Seth Turn. I'm a nephew, and we have on the one and only attorney Russell Wilson, and he is firing away, talking about different legal matters. This is one, as you heard Aunt Vern say, one of Dallas's top attorneys in the house. Again, you tune into the Vernus Help Metroplex Buzz, where we're talking about the Texas legal system, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Help Metroplex Buzz, where we are debuting this wonderful event, this wonderful blog show. And for our guests, we have had Judge Dominic Collins, who was in the house for a little bit. And right now, we have Attorney Russell Wilson, one of Dallas's best. You heard on Vern with regards to the whole jail overcrowdedness and some other things she wanted you to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor, Attorney Wilson, just go right at it.
I think she was mentioning the jail crowding issue, and, I think that's tied to a number of other issues. One of them, the first caller there, we're talking about bond amounts. But certainly, there's a limit, to the number of people you can hold in the jail. And the higher the number of people is that's in the jail, the more money the county spends to incarcerate people. That's the number one expense in Dallas County. Most of the number one expense likely nationwide is the money that we spend on our criminal justice system, from prisons to law enforcement to housing inmates to corrections to. So, I think for the callers out there, you could probably consider things like when you heard me earlier say that it would make sense not to criminalize marijuana or to decriminalize it entirely. The amount of money that is spent for an arrest on a marijuana-related offense or a marijuana-only offense doesn't give a societal return of value. When you talk about overcrowding in a jail, you start arresting people, either people that cannot afford bonds or people for offenses that shouldn't be prosecuted in the first place. You can get higher numbers of inmates in the jail, and that results in the county spending money at times needlessly to incarcerate individuals who maybe shouldn't be incarcerated to begin with. So jail overcrowding is a product to me of poor decisions, sometimes in policing. So we're not talking about the most violent of people or the most serious of offenses. I'm talking about your low-level offenses and the length of time that those folks stay in jail without getting out, has to be better managed. And that is either by reducing the penalties or deciding that the value in prosecuting certain crimes in certain ways is not giving society its bargain. You're not getting the benefit for the money. And so hopefully we'll see continued changes to the approaches. For years we've always been taught that locking people up and putting them in jail was a solution. But just like there's technology advances with the iPhone, the iPad, many years back we didn't do things a certain way that we maybe now do today. For example, this podcast couldn't have happened 30 years ago. It would have been unheard of. Same thing needs to happen in our criminal justice system. We need to update our approaches to criminal justice, and we need to update our approaches to handling people and look at how closely we're achieving our goals of, one, keeping society safe, two, promoting the welfare of the public. That should also be that the members of society have confidence in law enforcement, not fear, and that law enforcement isn't being used as a tool of oppression. So there's lots of room for change, and jail overcrowding is just one of the symptoms of a system that has lots of room for change.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I have a question again, Mr. Wilson. If you can't answer my question, let me know. I have no idea knowing what you can and can't answer. But I do want to ask you this. Do you deal with what's the demographics of your office? I mean, as far as your clients, let me just ask it another way. Do you think are a lot of the clients young or older? I mean, is it, you know?
You know, I have a big demographic.
I hear people saying, I'm
going to
get an attorney. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a big demographic. I don't necessarily have a lot of younger clients. I don't do court-appointed work in Dallas, which the bulk of people coming through the criminal justice system are going to receive, in Dallas County, are going to receive court-appointed attorneys. So, you know, it's very varied, but, you know, as it relates to who I represent, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a 27-year board-certified criminal defense attorney. Is going to have an expense more than just somebody that was just recently licensed or something along those lines.
I see. Well,
yeah.
Again, I want to thank you for your time. I know I've said it many times tonight, but like my Aunt Vern said, this is her debut, and we just want it to go well, and it has went well, thanks to you for the most part. I want to switch gears and talk about something that I'm sure a lot of young people would like to ask you, but probably don't have the nerves to press one. Again, y'all on the phone line, go ahead and press one. That's a wonderful time to talk to our attorney Wilson. If you're in the chat room, again, same principle, ask your question in the form of a chat, and we'll get that. We'll reach a question to the judge, I mean to the attorney. But I got a question about firearms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to go here, but this is life. I mean, if I don't go here, this ain't life, okay? And a good host, sitting in, of course, for my aunt, but a good host will ask those questions that the listeners have, but they may not have the guts to ask. But in the event of road rage, what
mm-hmm.
rights do you have as the gun owner that you are? What can you and cannot do with your firearm with regards to road rage?
Yeah, you know, that's a simple question. It's a great question, but it's a complex answer. You know, what I can tell you is this. Every person does have a right of self-defense. That right of self-defense is only invoked in situations. There's limitations on self-defense, like you cannot have provoked the other person. And so it's really situational. And then if it ends up with the production of a weapon, you have to at least be in fear of bodily injury yourself. So there's a number of different caveats to these cases or instances where you're seeing individuals produce weapons and sometimes shoot other individuals. And it's really a case-by-case basis. So Texas laws do have self-defense laws. You can't be a provocateur, meaning a person who provoked the incident and then subsequently claim self-defense. But I also tell people, obviously, there's no duty to die, meaning kind of reinforcing the self-defense laws. So it's really a situational thing, though. And too many times, the people involved in these instances are looking for the dispute. And, you know, it kind of just goes back to, you know who you are. But if you're that driver who's out there driving reckless and crazy, you got your gun right there next to your gear shift so you can pull it out, you're looking at the light, you're looking, you know, you're standing a great chance of ending up in jail because of your situational judgment. On the other hand, if somebody were to pull up next to you and you accidentally cut them off and they pull out a gun and, you know, fire at you and you yourself are armed, again, you certainly have a right to defend yourself. So a lot of it is situational. I don't think there's an automatic. And where people get jammed up is they try to say, well, I had a right to do so-and-so, and they're dead wrong. And so it's a judgment call. Obviously, a person who's truly in fear for their life is going to produce or fire a weapon. But, you know, it's not unilaterally your judgment. Certainly, you know, you're going to be subject to a police investigation, maybe even a grand jury investigation. You could be indicted and have to stand trial. Not everybody who's indicted, you know, is guilty of a crime, but that could be an indication that they want 12 people in the jury to decide. That's going to be a very expensive, long, and tiring process. It's not fun to think of the potential of going to prison for up to 20 years. So before you produce and fire that weapon, make sure that you're ready for any of the consequences that come with it, which could include a criminal prosecution. Like I said, you certainly have the right, but it's not absolute. It's not a your choice, your decision, and that's the final say. That final say will likely be reviewed by somebody else.
Wow. Now, there was a gentleman who was, I'm sure you know about this case, there was an older, doesn't matter what ethnic group it was, but there was a gentleman that approached a gentleman, okay, how do I say this? I'm trying to watch how I say it. Okay, there was an elderly person in the handicapped parking. Actually, it wasn't elderly. Okay, let me just go ahead and say it. Hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, no, just speak freely and candidly. I mean,
but, okay, there was a black lady parked in the handicapped parking area.
Mm-hmm.
A white guy approached her and said, you don't have the sticker. And she made a fuss with him. So what, I'm here. You can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
The white guy was probably meant well, but he was playing police. You know, like some people try to tell who to park there. That's up to the police to do that, a security guard. But anyway, her husband came out and said, hey, why are you talking to my wife like that? And so he kind of got close to the guy, and he wouldn't let up. So the black gentleman pushed this white guy, and he fell to the ground. He pulled out a firearm, shot the black man with his son right there, and he died. It made national news. But you hear about that case. Was the white guy in the room for that? He was?
You know, so I, of course, I mean, don't get to choose who's in the wrong and who's in the right. I've heard about the case. I'm assuming that this was in a store parking lot. The primary source should at least be the video, maybe the wife. You know, usually when you're resorting to deadly force and the only force being used against you is non-deadly force, it's not going to be reasonable for you to be in fear of death or serious bodily injury. So in other words, if you got pushed, just a regular shove, and you fall to the ground and you jump up and shoot and kill somebody, you're probably going to face another charge.
I think he shot him while he was on the ground.
Even if you shoot the person who pushed you, and, you know, you could kind of just take away the rest of the context and say, could you shoot the person who pushed you? And again, the limitation in Texas on self-defense law is, you know, that you could use reasonable force against a person. There's a different standard for deadly force, and shooting would be considered deadly force. So in Texas, I think the person shooting the man that pushed him would be likely to say that they were maybe excessive in their defense, in defending themselves. You know, that was more than you could do. And so,
okay.
You know, now, if both people have guns, then, you know, maybe you have more reasonable belief that you're about to be shot. So go back to who's the provocateur. So it kind of takes you through this analytical thing. And I would imagine that case is going to be reviewed by a grand jury. Maybe he could be indicted and have to stand trial. 12 people would decide whether he was right. But he's going to have to, he's going to go through a lot whether he was right or wrong.
Yes, that's true. And like you say, you got to count that cost. So you want to go through all that. Let me ask you something,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Wilson, again.
Behind the parking space.
Yeah, really. I want to just remind everybody, I know I keep saying this because this is, again, this is our first show, and I want people to know that you can come on and ask questions, make comments, y'all. Don't be afraid. I see the phone line is full. And I want to thank those that have, maybe y'all are just supporting my Aunt Vern, and so that's appreciated as well. But you can ask questions and make comments, and those in the chat room, remember, you can type your question, and I will give it to Mr. Wilson. All right, so I want to say this. You said, Attorney Wilson, that you have not been stopped by the police officers unjustly. I don't think I've ever heard that before from a black man. I'm just being real. So how does that work?
You know, when I say that, I'm maybe referring to recent years here. Man, I'm trying to remember. Last time I was stopped by the police, I was speeding on 35, Interstate 35. I knew I was speeding. I was speeding. I was coming from seeing a client in jail and trying to get back to Dallas.
Okay.
So, you know, when you say stopped unjustly, I was just hoping I didn't get caught speeding. But I did. And, you know, it was a professional encounter from the officer. He issued me a citation. I provided my information. My insurance was up to date. My inspection, you know. So while I do think people do get stopped unjustly, particularly if you look, like if you're talking the Dallas area, lower economic areas. I don't know if you remember there was a time frame in South Dallas when it seemed like people get stopped on every corner. Sent DPS. And then traffic laws are enforced differently. You know, lower income or minority neighborhoods. I'm an attorney who's practiced 27 years. That doesn't necessarily occur as much in the area that I live in. So because of that, I don't have those experiences as often as other people. So, you know, but I bet that Tyler Perry probably hadn't been unjustly stopped in a long, long time. Jay-Z, you know, any person I think the further that they go along, many of my friends and colleagues that are themselves lawyers, but situationally, I also think some of the other things that I talked about certainly increase your risk for being stopped. If your car isn't up to date, it has equipment malfunction. I mean, I don't necessarily drive within every law, but I don't necessarily consider myself maybe the reckless driver. I'm an older person. You know, I don't drive like I did when I was 25. I don't smoke or drink in my vehicle, so nor do I allow other people to. And so there's no chance that when my car is approached, there's going to be. And I don't have anything in my vehicle. I wouldn't consent to a search, but there's nothing that would cause me to be concerned if the vehicle were searched. You know, so I think some of those factors contribute to the encounter, the nature of the encounter. The police stop me and they run my criminal history, they're not going to find anything. Some folks, if they run their criminal history, they're going to find a lot of stuff, and that's going to increase how they interact with the people. It's going to change the dynamic. So, you know.
Interesting. Well, like I said, I do think a lot of times police officers are trained to, some of us just carry ourselves so, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, you can just almost tell. If you and I can tell people that may do stuff illegal, well, you know the cops can. So I do think some of these stops.
All right. I mean, if you do something to draw attention to yourself, you're going to get attention drawn to yourself. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. You know, whether it was justified or not, I'm still saying the same procedure. But I do think, you know, people of color, I mean, the statistics show you that. There's racial profiling reports that continue to show that African Americans are stopped and cited at a higher rate than their proportionate race and ethnicity in the state. You go back to a person like Sandra Bland. So because I'm saying that wasn't my experience doesn't mean that I'm saying people don't have that experience. I mean, by the converse, the overwhelming majority of traffic stops end without any negative encounter. And I can say that just by the number of tickets that are written statewide, which is, you know, probably well over a million, compared to the number of incidents that involve death or anything like that, which would be, you know, less than 20. So percentage-wise, it's a few instances.
Right.
But one instance, you know, that's preventable is too many. And so, you know, I think law enforcement has changed or is trying to improve their approach to what I would call traffic stop encounters. And then, you know, communities, I think, also have to try and improve their approach too. But, I mean, if you get stopped by the police and you try to run, their job is to chase you, you know. But, you know, there's still work to be done in that area. So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying there's no issue there. It was just when you were saying to me, what would I do? If, you know, what do I do when that happens to me? Probably in the last 10 years, I had one traffic stop, and that's the speeding ticket I'm talking about. That wasn't even in doubt. So I don't want to be – I'd be being dishonest if I told you. Oh, yeah, every time I get stopped. But I know that it happens. And so And I don't want people to think, well, just because it didn't happen to me, you know, I probably go to bed earlier than most people get up earlier. So it's a whole different routine.
It's probably wise. Well, we did get a question. I guess some of y'all ain't going to be shy. So I do thank you for this question that's come in. But we do have a question for you, Mr. Wilson, and it is this. Are there any avenues being discussed to make punishment more fairly metered out? Since you are fined and are spend time in jail, it seems if you can afford the fines, you can keep moving in your life. But a few tickets can set many back for years. Do you understand that question? Let me read it again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll read this again.
Go ahead. Well, one, I mean, the short answer is not enough is being done. And the issue there is, you know, we're a capitalist society. Look at the percentage of people that are living below the poverty line, at or near the poverty line. You know, $300 tickets is $900. If those turn into warrants, then there's additional fees. $900 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money for anybody, but it's particularly a lot of money for a person who's only earning minimum wage at $7.25, or I think that's still what it is. But assume that the person is making minimum wage and that they get $900 worth of tickets on their vehicle. You know, the question is, how long will it take them to be able to get out from under that fine, if you will?
Absolutely.
And, you know, $7.25, you know, you do the math, pull up a calculator and say, you know, what would that be, 900 divided by 725, what do we get? 124, right? So 124, that'd be the number of hours that that person would have to work in order just to pay that fine. And that would be the rough equivalent of 3 weeks, right? So who do you know that can work and give up 3 weeks of salary to pay a fine, right? And so that's your impact right there. And so when they're saying that it has a long-lasting impact because they're not able to pay the fine, and they can keep getting arrested, keep going back to jail, or the fine goes on their record, and then they can either lose their driving privileges, have their insurance increased. And so, you know, that's a problem. You have all of these cities that have these debts where, again, the law enforcement funding is coming from. You know, there's some cities, there was a client talking the other day, and there, I mean, you have the, what I call the speed trap, and a couple miles away from there is the courthouse, and they try to get you to pay, you know, money. And so there should be, I think, a reduction in fines. Too long, that fines are, you know, for a person, for an attorney, a doctor, a fine isn't necessarily a difficult thing. $900 wouldn't take 3 weeks of work in order to earn it. But when you look at the person making the minimum wage, you can see how that just spirals, right, out of control for them. And that happens a lot to folks. You know, and that's how people end up, when you hear people say, well, I have warrants. Part of the reason they have warrants is because they didn't appear, they didn't show up for it. But part of the other reason is they didn't have the money to pay it. You know, what's the point of showing up for court if I don't have $200 for the stop sign I ran? And so I certainly understand that issue. I think that the person who's asking the question is on point. I don't know, you know, what the changes will be for that. Like I said, in some areas, people are dependent on their fine money for their government. And so that is, you know, I'll jokingly say to my police officer friends, that's the donut fund, but you're using traffic ticket money to fund the salary of XYZ. I think the better approach is just community-wide taxes and lower overall fines so that any one person who experiences a fine doesn't have to bear it unnecessarily. So I think the fine should be lowered, and if they need that revenue, better to let that be borne by society through a tax. You there?
I'm just talking away here, talking away. I didn't want you to hear the little noise from my notepad, so sorry about that. But
that's no problem. We're going to get ready to wrap up.
Yeah, we're wrapping up here. But first of all, I appreciate that answer, and I hope that the person that sent that question, you answered that for him. Listen, Mr. Wilson, I really, really appreciate your time tonight, and I'm sure my Aunt Vern does also. We really appreciate you stopping by here at the Vernon's Help Metroplex Buzz. And everybody that participated, all of those callers, again, a lot of you just listening, and that's okay. Remember, next week we'll be talking to the SBA about how to do business with the government with Bridget Moon. You heard my Aunt Vern talk about that again. That's next Thursday, same place, same channel, same time, so to speak. But Attorney Wilson, I really appreciate you, and hopefully y'all remember that name and call. And you want to give out your information one more time for those listening all the way to the end?
Sure. RussellWilsonLaw.com. So you can look me up, Google me, RussellWilsonLaw.com. I'm the attorney, not the quarterback. happy to help folks when I can.
Yes, well, again, we thank you. And I just want to – I'll go ahead and mute your line at this time and wrap up the show again, everybody. Thank you all. This is our first, and I think it was great. I really liked the attendance. We had a good showing, and I appreciate the person that sent the question. We just thank you. This was a very good show, especially for a debut, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Congratulations. And best of luck as the podcast continues on.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and there you have it, brothers and sisters. That's the one and only Attorney Wilson. I'm going to go ahead and mute his line, and we're going to bow out. As promised, we're within the two-hour time frame. And, again, we just want to thank you for your time tonight. Again, I'm the nephew. I'm Seth Turner. I'm not Vernon Melton, obviously. Aunt Vern had an emergency, and so she will be back next week. You heard her say it out of our own mouth. She will be back next week. And like she said, we're taking our community resources and workshop information to the airways to help change our atmosphere by helping others go and grow. All right, so we'll see you next week. Thank y'all for your participation. Wrapping up, everybody. Just give me a quick little second here.
word.